This program today continues the program we had last week. It's from a healing rally we did up in Raleigh. This is part two of that message, and it also includes some questions and answer. I think you'll enjoy it.
Sometimes, before they can get deliverance healing, they need some other kind of healing. Like, for instance, the lady that had the stuff crawling under her arms, she was being tormented. She wanted to worship God, but she couldn't. It was like the demons were stopping her, and then she'd have these sensations. And so we started praying over her and asking the Lord how we should proceed and how we should pray for her. So the Lord asked her about guilt. Said, are you carrying some guilt with you? And oh, I mean, right away she starts crying. Oh, yeah, I've done something horrible, and it was all my fault, and I just can't get over it. And so we began to talk to her about it, and the Lord began to lead, and we began to discover it really wasn't her fault, and the Lord began to show her the truth about the situation, that it really wasn't her fault, and that God really would forgive her. And so we prayed this prayer of forgiveness over her, and she really felt it for the first time in years. She felt like, you know what, I've been set free from that guilt. Now, after that happened, it was very easy to pray deliverance over her and to drive those demons away, and she was completely delivered and completely set free. There was another lady that was being tormented by evil spirits, and when we got to praying for her, we ask again about guilt, though this time it was guilt from her lifestyle, the lifestyle she had lived before she had come to know the Lord. And again, the Lord had to show her that he had really forgiven her and made her free. This is one of the problems. We've watched this over and over again with Christians. They're just carrying so much guilt and shame around with them. Oh, I just begged the Lord over and over to forgive me, and I just can't seem to get forgiveness, and that's just causing huge problems in their life. And the Lord wants us to know, hey, look, when I forgive you, I forget. I put your sin as far as the east is from the west. I don't remember it anymore. If you're feeling guilty, it's not me, says the Lord. I'm telling you, when God forgives us, he truly sets us free, and we become innocent in his eyes. Innocent meaning I deserve to be healed. It's okay for me to be healed. Let's talk about a couple of other things before we wrap up. I want us to have plenty of time to be able to pray with you and for you, and y'all can pray with us as well for folks. There are often roots and triggers to illness, and if we can find the root or the trigger, it helps us be able to get healing. For instance, you catch a cold, well, that cold virus is the trigger for your illness. You need inner healing so you can have a good marriage. Well, maybe the root to your emotional problems is that you were sexually molested as a child. You're being oppressed by demons. Maybe the trigger is you played with a Ouija board when you were a teenager. We've seen folks carry oppression because of those kind of things. So finding the root, the trigger, the source, the entry point is often a key to healing. And one of the things that you can do is you can ask questions of yourself or the person you're praying for healing, questions like this. So when was the last happy memory in your life? Someone that's under a cloud, you know? And they'll be able to go back to a time in their life. Well, I was happy here, but boy, the next day I remember what happened, and I haven't been happy since. Okay, well, that's probably where healing needs to take place. Or what memory keeps coming to your mind, and when it comes to your mind, you just go, oh, that was so stupid. Oh, I just can't believe I did that. You probably need healing at that point. There's an entry point there or a trigger that needs healing. Or what memory keeps coming to your mind and makes you feel sad or makes you feel guilty or makes you feel hurt. Today, as those kind of scenes come to your mind, bring them to us as we pray with you. And let's see what God will do and what he will have to say. And then let's pray that God will bring those things up that he wants to do healing with you for. What's interesting is how often we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need this kind of healing. And the Lord says, yeah, I know, but there's other things we got to deal with first. In other words, sometimes there are things that are blocking our healing or interacting with other things so that we can't be healed. Listen, I am firmly convinced that God wants to heal us, and he has the power to heal us, And I believe that he always responds to healing prayer unless there's something in the way blocking it. God wants to heal us. God can heal us. God always responds to healing prayer unless there's something blocking that prayer. Now, what kind of blocks might those be? Well, one thing is you're just not asking for healing. I've watched that happen. Folks don't know. They're under guilt, they're under shame. Their marriage is falling apart because they need inner healing. They don't know it. They don't know to even ask. Or, as we've talked about several times, unforgiveness. I just can't tell you how many times I've watched folks, they couldn't be healed because of unforgiveness. And several times, Debbie and I have been in places where we're praying for people and someone will come up to me for prayer for physical healing. And the Lord will say they need to forgive someone first, and I'll tell them that. And they go, no, I'm not going to do that. You just don't know what they did to me. And they'll leave. They don't want to be prayed for. But I'll tell them that, and they'll leave, and they'll go around, and they'll eventually come back over to Debbie. And they'll say, you know, I need you to pray for whatever it is. And the Lord will tell Debbie, you need to forgive first. And so Debbie tells them, you need to forgive or the Lord can't heal you. Well, sometimes they'll understand, oh, this must be from the Lord then. But we've watched people not receive it, and they go off unhealed because they won't forgive. Sometimes a wrong or poor image of God will keep us from being healed. We just can't believe that God would really want to heal us. Or some kind of lie that we've believed, or unbelief, or lack of faith, or demonic activity. Demons gain entrance through unforgiveness, through traumas, through occult activity. A deal with the devil. I remember one time I was preaching about this, and at the time, the Lord told me, now you mentioned this. If anybody's made a deal with the devil, the Lord can break that deal and they can be set free. And so I said that and went on. I thought, who in the world in church is going to have ever made a deal with the devil? And as soon as the church service is over with, man, some guy comes up to me and says, I'm the guy that made a deal with the devil when I was in college, and God was able to break that and heal him. But that can be a source of entrance. Sometimes we're just not ready. God may for some reason be waiting for someone else or something else to happen, or he's waiting for us to receive some other kind of healing before we can. I think in a lot of ways, it's kind of like an onion. You know how an onion is? You see a layer of onion? That's the healing that we need. And you peel that layer off, and then eventually you realize, oh yeah, there's some more healing I need. And then you peel that layer off, and oh, now I can see another little bit of healing that I need. We just have to let the Lord start where he wants to and move us on. There are often interactions between the five categories of healing, and I've talked about these some, like how after deliverance, demons will try to come back because the inner wound that was allowing them entrance wasn't healed, or because the stuff that you had been dealing with in the occult in your youth wasn't really repented of or renounced. Or maybe guilt and shame can't be healed because inner healing wasn't done, or vice versa. Unfortunately, a lot of times I think folks that are stuck in addictions and destructive behaviors stay there because of guilt and shame that they just can't break that pattern. Sickness sometimes comes from emotional distress. We're under a lot of emotional distress. That begins to cause chemical changes in our body, and we actually end up becoming physically sick because we've been living under years of stress or unforgiveness or anxiety or something like that. Remember in Mark chapter 8, Jesus prays for a man's eyes. And he says, can you see? And the guy goes, nope. I see men look like trees walking around. And Lord prays for him again. It took a while. This happened to us several times in Uganda and Tanzania recently. Somebody come up for prayer for their eyes. And you'd say, well, are your eyes hurting or can you not see well? And this happened several times with people that were in school, in college, or before. They said they can't read their books. Okay, so let's pray that God will heal your eyes. They weren't completely blind. They just couldn't see well enough to read. And so we'd pray for them. Can you see any better? No, not yet. Okay, well, let's pray some more. And so we'd pray some more, and I'd say, can you see any better? yeah, I can see a little better. And so I'd take a business card out of my pocket and say, can you read that? No, I can't see that. Okay. So he'd pray a little more. Maybe get some other folks. Come on, son, let's get two or three other people to come over here and pray for this person. We'd pray for him for a little while longer. And say, okay, now, can you read that? And especially in Tanzania, they'd go, no, it's not in Swahili. And we'd, well, can you tell me what the letters are? Oh, yeah. And they'd start reading off the letters one at a time. See, God had healed it. But it was a process. It took a while. And so if we had given up too quickly, they'd have left not seeing. Matter of fact, I'm a great believer in soaking prayer or repeated treatments. If we pray for you tonight and you don't feel completely healed or touched at all, keep coming back. Let people pray for you every chance you can get. Sit and just soak in the presence of God. Let the presence of God soak into you and heal you. I can't tell you how many things God has healed me of over a period of 6 months or 1 year or 2 years. But you just keep, I'm going to keep coming back for treatment. And I'm just going to keep praying and let God eventually heal work. You know, the 10 lepers, when Jesus prayed for them, the Bible specifically says that they were healed as they went. I think that God wants to touch everybody here tonight. Now, he may not heal you what you think you need healing of, but I promise you, if you'll pray and have faith, God will touch you where you need touching. I would love to give God an opportunity to do some real healing miracles, spiritual healing, physical healing, inner healing, healing of destructive emotions, or deliverance healing. I'm surprised at the number of Christians that just continue on with demonic oppression in their lives, and they don't know any better. They don't know they can be set free. They don't know they can be delivered. We want to be able to pray with you tonight. You know, life beats us up. It wounds us. We humans, we need salves, we need balms, we need healing. I think everybody here, there's something that God wants to do in your life. God will do in your life if we'll humble ourselves before him and have faith and just give him a chance.
This past week I've been going through some physical things and they don't belong to me, but I feel them. There's been teeth issues.
Describe the pain.
Well,
because sometimes this is the way the Lord will tell us.
In the jaw.
About praying for something.
And in the teeth here. Okay.
Just on the right side?
Well, it could be on the either side. There's probably a pinched nerve or something like that that affects the hip area into the, I don't know, just like this joint area here. And it was hard to walk.
Now, see, if that's you, that's God saying he's here. He's going to
heal
you tonight.
Arm joint in the arm and going down, radiating to the hand, almost like a electrical shock kind of thing that goes down. Again, might be a nerve kind of thing, or it could be. It's like having a deep ache in the joints. And it could be somebody here tonight or somebody tomorrow. So I might want to repeat tomorrow if nobody here tonight has these problems.
I know that the Lord said he would love to heal marriage relationships. Is anybody here having marriage relationship issues? I think the Lord can do some miracles in that area tonight.
Mm-hmm. If something tries to come on me again, you know, that I've had once before, I say, it will not come on me a second time in the name of Jesus. Because there's a scripture in the Bible that says that. It will not come on you a second time. If you're healed, you're healed. If God heals you, you're healed. You're set free. And so a urinary tract infection can be just so painful. You have to get antibiotics for it. And then that gives you yeast issues. And it's just a mess. So it tried to come on me. And, you know, you don't get rid of it just on your own. Usually do have to go to a doctor when it's severe and stuff, but I took authority over it. I said, no, I'm not, because when I was praying 35 years ago for this, after a while, I'd go to the doctor and it would be negative. And it was like, well, then why am I having the symptoms? So I went home and started finding those symptoms because they were false. And it gradually just went away and I didn't have it, not had it until just this past week. My ankle was hurting too. Cancer?
Yeah.
I had stage 3 breast cancer. And one of the things with that was, at the beginning, the Lord told me, it's not unto your death. So I knew I wasn't going to die from it. I just knew that I knew that I wasn't going to die from this. So I had that confidence, that peace about that. But I said, okay, the Lord's going to heal me. He's healed me of so many things, sometimes instantaneously, sometimes over a period of time, but he healed me without doctors. And I thought, and I'm not going to have chemo because that just poisons your body. I mean, it just takes your immune system and just poisons everything. So I thought, well, the Lord's going to heal me and I'm not going to have to do chemo. And I almost just had the breast cut off because that way you just get rid of the problem. But I felt like I'm not supposed to do that. So I called the doctor and told him, it was the night before, and I said, I can't do this. It doesn't feel right. He says, well, have a good life, and hung the phone up. I didn't have a doctor. I didn't have anybody. So I felt free. It was like, good, I'm off the roller coaster of everybody telling me all this information and everything. I was just so confused about what to do. But I hadn't heard from the Lord yet, not specific what to do. So I thought, well, good. What I'm going to do then is eat vegan. I went totally vegan diet. I went up to Winston-Salem and started having vitamin C drip in my veins, which turns to poison in your body, actually. But it's not like chemo. It's more natural process. And so anyway, I did that for, 7 months? And then I went to Kenya, and I thought, okay, I'm going to Kenya, and I'm going to be healed in Kenya. Everybody's going to pray for me. I'm going to be healed. When I come home, I'm going to be healed of cancer. So I went, and I was slain in the spirit. People were praying for me, and I was just so excited.
And we were seeing all kinds of
miracles
and healings.
Wonderful things happening. And so I thought, okay. So I come home. It had grown. And so I'm thinking, well, obviously I've missed something because I'm not being healed. You know, it's like, what am I supposed to do? Because it had grown, I went back to the hospital, and we were talking to the doctors, and Dan and I were just in the room by ourselves, and we both felt like the Lord was saying, do chemo. So we said, okay, we'll start the process. So I went, and I did the chemo.
Well, let me tell you another part of it. When they said, okay, now we're going to give you chemo, and because of the kind of cancer you have, it will probably not reduce the size of the tumor
at all. But we're going to try.
But we're going to do the chemo to protect the rest of your body. And then if it reduces the size, that's good. And then we'll have that, maybe the whole breast. We'll have to take that off. And so there's going to be 6 chemo treatments, but don't expect anything from this. And we said, okay, we're in God's hands. We feel like this is what God wants us to do.
So every time I went in for a chemo treatment, Dan would pray over the medicine and over everything that was going on. After 3 treatments, they couldn't find the cancer anymore. The lump, you could see it. It was out here. And it just disappeared. And they couldn't find it anymore after 3 treatments.
They spent a long time looking for it, too, because they said, this just can't happen.
So they gave me 5 treatments just because. Then after 5 treatments, they said, okay, you don't need any more. And then they did a surgery, like a little lumpectomy kind of surgery to get out any dead cells and things, you know, in case there was anything. And it hadn't gone to my lymph nodes. It hadn't gone into the bone. It hadn't gone anywhere. It was just like stayed right there. So when it disappeared, they were shocked. I think the thing that was important to me was that I heard from God. And I couldn't do anything unless I heard from him. But I couldn't be so proud to say, well, God's going to heal me, therefore I'm not going to do chemo and then die from it because I refuse to take the medicine or take what the doctors are saying to do. When the Lord told me do it, I did it. But I didn't do it until I heard. Recently, I heard of a woman that died from the same kind of cancer. It was an aggressive cancer. Because she felt like the Lord was going to heal her. She refused any treatment at all because the Lord said, I'm going to heal you. Well, yes, the Lord wants to heal us, but what if it's with chemo? We can't be so proud that we say no to God when he speaks, you know, to do some things, and to have it so in our minds, we're not going to do this, that we block off any kind of communication that would come from the Lord. That was a big learning lesson. It strengthened a lot of people around me, too, because I was trying to listen to God through
it. Well, and that's one of the things that we've really learned in praying for people. Every time somebody comes up and says, my back is hurting, you can't say, oh, well, I know how to pray for that. You pray for that the same way every time. No,
mm-hmm.
You can't. And sometimes somebody, like we've talked about a lot tonight, someone comes up and they're presenting with a physical problem. They want physical healing. Pray for my knee, my back, my stomach. And the Lord says, no, I need to heal something else first. Well, we got to listen. See? So, and sometimes the Lord has said, you need to go to the doctor. That's where I'm going to heal you. Well, we have to be able to hear that too. We've also heard the Lord say, don't you dare go to that doctor.
That's right. I've almost been killed by doctors.
We prayed for a lady one time that had a female condition that was very painful for her. She was going to go to the doctor the next day so they could schedule surgery the following week. And the Lord said to her, don't have the surgery. Tell them that you want to postpone the surgery because God is going to heal you. And she said, well, you think you're really hearing from the Lord? And I said, I think I'm hearing from the Lord. At least postpone it and let's see what God does. And she said, okay, well, I won't take the surgery. And she didn't take the surgery. God healed her. And within a couple of months, she was pregnant. Now, see, she had been told, you can't have babies because of this disease. And we're going to take out the parts that allow you to have babies.
Severe endometriosis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? God had a different plan. We just have to listen, and I think he does that on purpose. You know, if he could give us the manual, we just follow the manual. We wouldn't listen to him. We wouldn't seek him. He wants us to seek him, get personal, see what he'll do.
So if anybody has any of the symptoms I mentioned, or he's talked about marriage and
reconciliation of relationships, that kind of thing. Are there any questions? You're saying if you have a friend or family member that's sick, yeah, you're saying, can you bring the prayer request to us? Can we pray for them? What you're doing when you're doing that is a kind of intercessory prayer.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what intercessory prayer is, where an intercessor stands between God and the person on their behalf. Absolutely. Listen, we've seen God do great miracles that way. I've watched people come to someone who is sick in bed, can't get to the service. And so a relative comes and prays for them, and depending on how the Lord leads, we may pray over a cloth or anoint their hands or who knows how the Lord leads and say, okay, now, Lord wants you to go back and pray for them. And they go back and pray for them, and those people are healed. So absolutely, we've seen that. Are there any other questions that you have tonight before we start praying? I'm not an expert, but I'll be glad to listen. A question about forgiveness. Do you have to go to the person you're forgiving and tell them that you forgive them? And I tell you, there's another question that follows on with that oftentimes, and that is, do you have to associate with that person or like them or want to be around them in order to forgive them? I believe the answer is no, you don't have to go to them to tell them that you're forgiving them. And matter of fact, in some cases, doing that may make things worse with them, and they may not understand. I think, again, we need to be careful to listen to what the Holy Spirit says. If the Lord is telling you, you need to go tell this person that you're forgiving them, be sure and do that. But you don't have to tell someone, I forgive you, in order to forgive them, because it's something that comes from your heart. The other thing is, you might forgive somebody, but they're still an alcoholic, a drug addict, and they're going to steal your television if they get a chance. And you know, you may not have to let them in your house, but you got to forgive them. And the other thing is, folks will say, yeah, but they're not repentant. How can I forgive them? Who cares? God didn't say, well, if you forgive those who are repentant, then I can forgive you. No. He said, if you don't forgive, period, then I can't forgive you. So even if they're not repentant, even if they think what they did was great and they're bragging about it, you still need to forgive them. I have watched as people have done that, have forgiven someone who's not repentant. And when they forgive them, it's like somehow releases them to find forgiveness and to come to God. It's just weird how that works.
Even Jesus on the cross said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And what does that mean? Because a lot of times our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers and high and wicked places. Yeah. So it's not the person that we're battling over. It's the demonic sometimes that's operating through them. And if they knew better, they probably wouldn't do it. I mean, if they knew the true consequences of that sin, of that thing that they're doing, they wouldn't be doing it because, you know, the truth would be setting them free. But because they're in that, we have to forgive them because we're not dealing with flesh and blood at that point. And that's the hard part is you can look at somebody, they're doing it in your face. You know, they're hating you or they're being mean to you or whatever. And you have to say, yeah, but this isn't that person. Because if that person was healed and whole and well, they wouldn't be doing this.
Any other questions real quick? Yes, ma'am. In other words, you have a son who has an emotional imbalance and he feels like because I know Jesus, I shouldn't have to take the medicine? Is that what he's... Yeah. Yeah, so he's taking monthly injections and that's great for a while, but toward the end of the month begins to wear off and he begins to get out of touch again. Well, he needs physical healing in his brain. There's a chemical or electrical imbalance, and we just need to pray for physical healing, just like any other healing. And I believe God can heal it. Had a good friend that was in a motorcycle accident. His head got crushed. There was a hole in his head you could put your hand in. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they said, well, he's not going to live. And we kept praying for him. Well, he's going to live, but he's going to be a vegetable. Well, he's not going to be a vegetable, but he'll never really recover. He had been an air traffic controller. We just kept praying for him and kept praying. Within a year, he got his job back as an air traffic controller. I mean, God
completely... And you could still put your hand in the...
Yeah, there was still this big dent in his skull. Yeah. So we've watched God heal brains.
Yeah.
God can do that. Yeah, see, it may be a traumatic injury that has caused the imbalance to take place. But listen, God can heal that. And if he doesn't heal instantly, believe in a healing over time.
Just constant prayer.
Yeah. Any other questions real quick? Because I want us to have time to pray for folks. Going once, going twice. Okay.